this week, and I feel it in my heart. I just love you guys. And Kay and I was thinking about maybe getting a little cottage and coming up here for the summer. So we want to put it on St. Joseph's River, so I love the fish. But we've been buried 50 years this year, and we're going to celebrate here in September, going up to Alaska for a couple of weeks, taking a cruise and a train ride and seeing Mount McKinley and Delaney and things like that. So, but Kay has it in her heart, worship. She was a worship leader for 17 years at Marion Christian Center, and she finally gave it down because of her parents and to take care of them. But she has it in her heart to see the music be revived. And this morning she's going to talk on that. She has a booklet out. What's your book called? Bring Me a Minstrel. And it goes into David's Tabernacle and everything else like that. So anyway, here's a wonderful wife, Kay. Once they give me the microphone, I don't give it up too much. So I got to give it away right now.
Yeah, Kay has been battling stenosis. And as was a time she couldn't walk and all that. So we're looking at recovery. Amen. Say that with me. Stenosis is reversible. And it's happening in K. Amen. We're with you, Lady of God. Amen.
I agree with all my heart. I love this church. I love your pastors. I've only known Pastor Belinda for a year, but I love her. I really love her. She just, well, they've got the same DNA that I do. I know that. And when you're around people that understand the word the way the Lord has revealed it to you, it's just something, there's a connection, you can't replace that. So that's what I feel. And a lot of you people I have known over the years, some of you I've probably never met, but some of you are real old friends, so it's good to be here. The Lord has been taking me through a lot of seasons lately, over the past probably, 25 years maybe. It's been a lot of seasons, but when Pastor Ron asked me to share this week, we were just going to come up and visit. That's all we cared, you know, we were just going to visit. And he said, would you like to share on Sunday? I said, sure, I'll be glad to. I don't get that many chances lately to do this. So for me, when I get to share, it just releases all this pent-up stuff that's been stuffed in there for a long time. So I just warn you ahead of time, it might be eruption. Well, I'm good at doing it quick, I'll tell you that right now. Okay, I've learned that over the years too. So, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share on? And he just, my life verse is John 4, 23 and 24. I've always said that's my life verse. Now, the story of that is the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. And she talks to him and they start talking about religion. She starts talking about religion. And he starts talking to her about relationship. And so I want to talk about the church as it's come through some restoration times. Back in the Middle Ages, you wouldn't be able to sing in a church. You're just a common person. Only the choir sang. The people didn't sing. Till Martin Luther restored congregational singing in the Reformation. So a lot of people maybe aren't aware of that, but that's truth. You couldn't sing. Wouldn't that be terrible if you couldn't sing? So over the hundreds of years since then, God has been steadily adding into the church the levels he wants it to have from what he had originally had in the first century. When Jesus said, I'll build my church, he meant he'd do it. And when Pentecost happened, the Spirit of God filled them, the church was born, and they started doing all this. And then over the years, hundreds of years later, they started losing it until God said, okay, it's time to restore it. So he's been doing that. And over the past about 50 years, he has restored David's Tabernacle, which if you've never heard about that, you need to read about it in your Bible. 2 Samuel, around chapter 6 and 7, and then Chronicles, around 12, 13, 14, 15. Those chapters are about David restoring the presence of God to the nation of Israel, and in a tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was brought, and God would show up. And the people learned what he wanted them to do by the Psalms that were written there. So a lot of the Psalms in your Bible, in the book of Psalms, were written right there. And so they tell us what he likes to have us do. The things that, that make his heart feel good, okay? So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And you know, even after that David's tabernacle started being restored, the worship styles have kind of changed over time. Have you noticed? If you've lived as long as I have, which I've been through all that, okay? We were married, we've been married since David's tabernacle was restored. So back then, that's when we got married. So so I've kind of, I observe that. I've got a real heart for history, and I've got a heart for seeing restoration, so it kind of goes together to watch and see the trends and what's happening. So I've lived through all that stuff, coming out of a Methodist background, which was, they sang hymns and gospel songs, you know, and I played there. I was the organist in my church when I was 15, and so I played for the choir, I played for the youth group, I, you know, did all that, and then so the people sang, they sang pretty, sort of mediocre maybe I'd say in my church that way they sang. They'd sing real loud, you know, but they sang. And then I ended up in the 70s in a charismatic church. And, okay, so that's a big shift. But God was moving me through the stages. It's so awesome to see him do that, okay? So in the charismatic church in the 70s, we sang scripture songs mostly. And that was such a blessing because you learned the Bible that way. You don't forget it when you sing it all the time. I still listen to some of those old things. I got on my Amazon Music, I've got all that old stuff. And I listen to it, and you just don't forget that, you know. So then over years, in the 80s, God began teaching the church some parts of the church about warring praise and about praise was. We're going to talk about that a little more. But I was right in the middle of that too. And actually, he gave me the understanding of it before I even heard anybody else teach it. So I know it was God because he led me through studying it out myself. And then we had a guest minister, Robert Gay, who is apostle down in Florida, who is known as one of the pioneers of warring praise, came to our church and did a conference, and he preached the same thing that the Lord had told me. Now, that's, God is so good to give you assurance that what his word says is true, okay? So, but in that, in our scripture today, and if you could put that up on the screen, John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus tells the woman, after she says, you know, where should we worship? Here on the mountain where we, you know, are you in Jerusalem? Where should we do that? And he says, neither. Says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And I'm sure she never heard anything like that before. A lot of Christians haven't really understood that, okay? Now, the word spirit there is the word pneuma, and it means wind or breath or spirit. You know, we are our spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body, but we are a spirit. So God wants our innermost being to worship him. So that's what spirit means. And truth, and that the word there in truth is, I looked this up again lately just because I wanted to study it more because I'd heard some teaching on it, but it was like kind of superficial in a way. And I thought, that's way back then when I was taught this, but I want to see what God's saying to me right now. So I really got into it again. And the word there means real, ideal, and genuine. So according to the truth of God's word tells us how to worship. It actually tells us what to do. And So according to that, and then what is genuinely from your heart. So you can't be fake. You can't be phony. It's got to be real. God knows the difference because he knows us inside out. So what's genuine when we worship is what he's looking for, okay? So that's what we all want to do. But, you know, sometimes there's circumstances that kind of make it hard. If you've lived very long, you've had those times, okay? You go into the wilderness, right? Well, I've been through that season lately. So I'm not going to tell you all the gory details, but I do think there's some truths that might help some people that are, you know, we're all going to hit walls. We're all going to go into the season. It's just because we live on this fallen planet that's the way it is. And so Psalm 42, if you could look, turn to Psalm 42, and actually it goes through into 43. It kind of connects together. It's like it's almost one psalm. It's not really broken down. And if you look at the title of the whole psalm, it says, "Yearning for God in the Midst of Distresses." And I was there. I was living that, and I was like in this psalm all the time. I've got this Bible. This Bible opens to that page. It's marked all up right there. I've had this a long time, but that's where it opens up because that's where I go, that one. And this is the one about the deer panting for the water. You know, the soul song, "As the deer pants for the water. So pants my soul for you, O God." So that's where I was at. My soul was panting for God. I was really hungry for God, but I wasn't able to connect the way I'd always been able to. This is really hard for somebody. This has been my life. And I was in a spot due to a lot of circumstances I couldn't control, whether it was people dying or leaving or all that stuff, or my body not working right. I didn't have a platform anymore to really speak a lot. So all that stuff was happening at the same time, and I was frustrated. And so I was getting into a point where I really thought, I can't hear anymore. I just really can't hear the Lord. This is awful. I hate it. And I would get into this word, and I'd just say, okay, here's where I'm at. And I'd just cry. So it says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they, whoever they are, continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" I think "they" was the devil and his demons tell me that, you know. So then in verse 4 it says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." Well, that was me. I was the worship leader, all right? And that was like, okay, this is written for me. I'm going to really get this. So then it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." And that word is yada. I shall yet praise him with my hands. Okay, that's what that means. Now, if you're in a service and everybody's doing that and you don't know really why they're doing that, that's one of the scriptures that tells us to do that. Okay, there's a lot more of them. But we praise God with our hands because that demonstrates power. Okay, so I would read that. And it goes on, and if you go on in Psalm 43, it goes into the same thing. It's still talking about it, and it tells, ask God to plead my case and make things right and send your light and your truth. Let them lead me and let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O my God. And it says again, why are you cast down, O my soul? So it gives the answer, but it shows the quandary he's in because he's having trouble getting through. He knows the right things to do, but it's hard. That's where I was at. It was hard. The nerve damage in my body has caused it hard. It's hard for me to play the keyboard anymore. I just don't do it much. I can't really do it very well. So that doesn't happen either. So I would just put on music and cry through it. Or if I'm sitting in a service, I would cry through the music, no matter what they were playing. So I was crying all the time. I was using lots of Kleenexes. And I'd have these sessions with the Lord where I just cry. So that's kind of the history of where all this is coming from, all right? But let me tell you, and I'm feeling kind of guilty because, like, Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do. It's just I'm not seeming able to really get through it. You know, I can't quite get there. I know better. I know what to do. So this is what we do. If that happens to you, and I'm doing this now, okay? Praise. All right, praise. It is the answer for anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad a situation you face. I don't care how horrible it is. If you praise, you will see God move. I guarantee it, all right? Because the word says it will. Psalm 22:3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. And what does that mean? Now, we experienced it this morning. If you were sensitive to the Spirit of God, he was showed up really big time. I just commend this worship team. I think Sarah's doing an awesome job. They are unified. They understand what they're doing. They're doing it. They bring the presence of God, and it's real, okay? It's not a show. It's not performance. It's awesome. So now that means you got to get your soul and your body in line with what your spirit wants. Because remember the psalm said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions are going to rule you if you let them. Okay, that's where I was kind of at. My emotions and my mind were ruling what was going on. So let's go to Psalm 47, because that's where I want to kind of end up here today mostly. But Psalm 47 has a lot of stuff in it. And your pastor, he's already said this. He said you sing with your understanding, okay? This is true. This is what a lot of people don't understand. If they don't sing with their understanding, they're just singing. It can be any, rote. So the first verse of this, now, this is a really interesting tidbit here. This is written by the sons of Korah. Korah was, in the Old Testament, was a Levite that opposed Moses, and he got punished. He got swallowed up by the earth. But he had some descendants that didn't get killed, and they ended up being Levites in the tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. And they wrote this. Okay? That's God's redemption right there. And it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Okay? Now, when we shout, it should be a thundering sound. That's what that means, thundering sound, the voice of triumph, and shrill. It can be real, cut through the atmosphere, all right? That's what we need to hear. Then it says, the Lord Most High is awesome. He's a great king over all the earth. We've been exalting him. He will subdue the peoples. This is what he will do. He'll subdue the people and the nations under our feet. And this is important here. He will choose our inheritance for us. Now, I was frustrated because I thought I had it all figured out what he was going to do, and it didn't work out like that. That was my expectation. It wasn't his. All right? Psalm 62:5. That's my verse for that. Okay? Now, it says, the excellence of Jacob whom he loves, Selah. Think about that. Now, verse 5, God has gone up with a shout. So when we shout, who comes up? Hallelujah. It says God does. He goes up when we shout. Because he's in here, right? He goes up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet, the shofar, was played several times a day. So every time the shofar blasts, God's presence goes out from it, all right? And the sound. Then it says, this is our key verse right here, these two here, 6 and 7. Sing praises to God, sing praises. That's playing with an instrument and singing. That's what they were doing. That's Zamar, that's what they were doing. And then it says, sing, for God is king of all the earth. Okay, we said that today. We said that many times, didn't we? And then it says, sing praises in the King James and the New King James and some other versions. It says this, sing praises with understanding. Some versions will just say, sing a psalm. But the word is really sakal, and it means to be circumspect. It also means, I've got it over here. Consider, be expert, instruct, prosper, deal prudently, give a skillful song, have good success, and teach. All in that word. Sing, when you're singing, you're doing all that. And if you understand it, the revelation of that combined with you doing it makes the movement of God easier. He just does stuff. Okay? Right? Well, you may say the words, what it means? Or it means to consider, be expert. You've got to be expert in what you're singing, all right? Instruct, prosper, deal prudently, give skillfully, like play it skillfully or sing it skillfully. Have good success, teach, or teaching what you're singing. And when you do that, God will move because you've got revelation. Now, my friend Robert Gay teaches that a lot. But that's true. When you understand what you're doing, say you're facing a situation where the enemy's got a roadblock and you want to get that thing out of the way, you've got to have understanding that God said the mountain would move if you speak to it. Well, you've got to understand that and then sing that about it. Sing about what God's saying about it, and then he'll show up. Okay, you believe that? So here's what I believe this is what happens, really. When we praise God and declare, we're declaring his attributes, what he's like, his character, his deeds, and all those things about him. Like, you are good, you're faithful, you're true, you're a healer, you're a deliverer, you're my savior, you're whatever he is. Okay, I had a big sheet one time and I did this. I had a whole sheet of names of God. And we just sang it out in a class we were doing. And the presence of God just came in so strong because we were declaring who he is. And that's all you have to do. Even if you don't sing well, just keep doing it anyway, okay? Don't be afraid to do it. That always works, all right? So what happens is he shows up. You feel him. You sense him, right? He reveals things to you, truth. He shows you what he's doing. He might give you a word for somebody. He might show you what he's doing in a situation. He might, whatever it is. And then, what's your response? I believe we can't help it. Then we worship him. Worship can't be forced. You praise is something you have to will and do it, even if you don't feel like it, right? See, that's what people don't understand. They think, I don't feel like praising. I can't do that. Well, I didn't feel like it either. And I was forcing myself at times, but it was a struggle because I had a, probably because of the things I know and have taught, that I have a higher level of responsibility to get through it, you know. And I was being tested big time. So, but you're going to be tested. And if you don't feel like praising, say you really feel depressed one day, just don't feel good, you know. The best thing you could do is force yourself to do something. Whether it's lift your hands or shout or sing something upbeat and praises him, you have to press through that. That is a weapon. It's a weapon of your, in your arsenal. We got spiritual weapons. Got to use them, okay? Now, so worship then, your response is adoration. You might prostrate yourself, whether it's just physically or in your heart. Put yourself down before the Lord. This should be operating all the time. I mean, you can be doing the dishes and be worshiping, okay? You're giving and you're helping people. And as Pastor Ron's teaching on sharing with people, you can worship the Lord by being obedient to go share with that person that he's got in your path. You know, that's an act of worship, really, because God's looking for people, all right? So then he talked about the kingdom, too. So here's what I think happens when we actually do this and worship, all right? Like we did this morning, when the presence of the king manifests, which is, you know that when the king shows up, right? How many could say they know when the king shows up, right? You know, you feel him, right? So the attributes of the kingdom, which are mainly righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? That's according to our scriptures, Romans 14, 17, and 18. And I say also the love of God, because God is love, as well as his gifts, healing, deliverance, salvation, restoration, all that good stuff. That'll show up when he shows up. So what do we want? We want him to show up because, I mean, he's with us all the time. He's always with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you, but we don't always feel him. I have to be honest. We don't always feel him, right? But when we feel him and know he's there, we're more able to receive and access the gifts and all the things that he does, because the glory of God is his, who he is and what he does, all right? That's what the glory is, okay? So, you know, there's been so much teaching on the glory in the past 20 years, really. I mean, it's a lot of people. And he started manifesting stuff. Like, I've been in meetings where feathers showed up and all that. I've been through that. But the glory, for me, it was this morning. That was glory, okay? Because in my heart, I could just sense Jesus being right there. He was right there, okay? That's the good stuff. All right. I'll just quote that verse. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, because some religions, that gets into that, you know, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Now, you know, most times they don't quote that next verse, that one, verse 18. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Now, what do we want to do? We want to, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it says if we do that, we'll please God, because we're showing our faith. Okay, let's go back to our original verse, John 4:24. It says, the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, we're seeking him, but he's seeking us, okay? And that word means to search for, desire, require, demand those who will do this. He's seeking. He's looking at everybody on earth. Who's going to worship me? Because I know if they worship me, they'll fulfill their potential, and they'll be so joyful, and they'll be in my kingdom forever. That's what he's looking for. Now, he looked for somebody, and Mary showed up back in the time when it was time for that. And Mary's was a true worshiper, because she said when she went to see her cousin in Luke 1, it says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She had that revelation back then. And that Holy Spirit had come over her, so she had experienced the Holy Spirit. Most people hadn't. Only a few select people got to experience the Holy Spirit back in the Old Testament time, till he came when Jesus sent him back. But she experienced the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit overpowered her, and I'm sure she had a revelation of it. So she wouldn't have been able to say that. I used to use that verse a lot just to say that people can do both at the same time. They can praise and worship at the same time. Your soul's praising and your spirit is worshiping. So you can worship and be dancing as hard as you can, and you're worshiping, okay? It doesn't have to be a slow, quiet song to worship. You can be doing, jumping up and down and screaming your head off, and you're worshiping, okay? David did. Okay, didn't he? I felt that. I want to save a few minutes so that we can sing this one song, but I felt that when I prayed about this and I was asking the Lord, help me with this, I felt like he said, there are so many in the body of Christ that they love me, they want to do what I want them to do, but they just haven't crossed that final threshold of understanding how much a weapon they have in their arsenal. And they go through lots of stuff they wouldn't have to go through, especially like depression and you know, things like that, which anxiety, there's so much of that in the world today. Young kids, there's so much, they have panic attacks, they have all this going on. But God has given us weapons that will take care of it. And if they have the understanding what it is, they can pull that out anytime they need it. I mean, David did it. Think about it. David was, he lost everything at Ziklag. What did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. When he was in Saul's court, he was playing his harp and singing. The devil was showing up, trying to oppress Saul. The devil had to go away when David was there because of the presence of God. Okay, so, and then the other illustration would be Jehoshaphat with the army, sending out the singers ahead, and the army against them just killed each other, basically.
Yes.
Because God showed up.
Yes.
Every time they used praise. And the church today has got a lot of opposition. I mean, we've got a lot of opposition. The devil knows his time is short, so he's pulling out the stops. We've got to use our weapons, or we're going to get knocked down. Okay? So, if... is the team going to come up? Okay, would the team come up? And I know you were singing this song and we were sitting in the back, so I know you were singing it, all right? Raise a hallelujah. When I heard, first time I heard this, I didn't understand who had written it, but I found out it was Bethel. I was like, yes, because they were doing all the soaking stuff and now they're singing this. I was like, yes.
Yes.
I think God's trying to get something across. He knows how to. Well, let's think about the words before we do it. I know you've sung it lately. I guess you've sung it a few times. Well, I don't know them all perfectly because I don't sing it that much myself, but I listen to it a lot. But can you get the words up for that? It says, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. That's all right. I'll just kind of... So that's the big thing to do, right? Hallelujah means jump around and be joyful. That's what it means. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. And then I raise a hallelujah. What's the next line?
Louder than the unbelief.
Louder than the unbelief. Okay, the unbelief's trying to drown it out, but you can sing hallelujah louder than that. The next line. My weapon is a melody. How's that? And then heaven comes to fight for me. What did we say? That's what it says, right? God shows up. Okay, so while we sing this, let's stand and sing it, and let's realize what you're doing, because you're going to sing it with understanding. If you got a situation that is bothering you, you need to use these words against it, okay?